A look now at the relationship with Israel in the age of Donald Trump. Donald Trump has gone even beyond traditional conservative hard lines when it comes to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict in some of his rhetoric. He says explicitly he'll support the building and expansion of settlements in the West Bank, for instance. Right-wing hardliners in Israel love what they're hearing from the president-elect. But as we've been hearing earlier in the hour, Trump also rose to power on a nationalist populist wave which had clear anti-Semitic messages. It's a feature of nationalist politics familiar around the world that hasn't spared the United States. So what do Israelis make of these two Trumps? The one who says Israeli-Palestinian peace would be the deal of a lifetime, at the same time joining with the opponents of a two-state peace in Israel while at home using anti-Semitism to rally some of his voters. Daniel Levy was a peace negotiator under Israeli Prime Ministers Ehud Barak and Yitzhak Rabin. He's currently president of the U.S. Middle East Project. And he says Donald Trump is coming to power at a moment when hope for Israeli-Palestinian peace isn't high.
Some people have looked at some of Trump's statements about this would be the greatest deal to make. His early statements about being neutral, his more recent statements in some meetings with U.S. newspaper editorial boards and said, well, maybe this is a new opportunity. He doesn't play by the regular rule book. I think that would be an exaggerated optimism. Where there could be significance is that this has been seized on. The expectations from a Trump administration have been seized on by the Israeli right inside Netanyahu's own Likud party, inside his coalition, and they've been saying, this is our moment. Let's stop playing the two-state game. Let's abandon it rhetorically, which the GOP platform did at the last convention. Let's go full throttle on settlements and let's annex. Now, Netanyahu doesn't want to do that because he recognizes that this would go, as previous Israeli prime ministers, Barak and Olmert, have said, full-blown apartheid. And then the Jewish democratic state idea, already hanging by a bit of a thread, could collapse over the precipice. So the Trump administration could actually cause a problem, paradoxically, for Netanyahu, because it removes the excuse of, I can't do this, the Americans won't let me.
So even if there is a nuanced tilt by the United States in favor of settlements or edging away from two-state rhetoric, and it's not full-blown, as you say, that would also have a direct impact on Palestinian reaction, Palestinian behavior, and Palestinian trust in an American administration that, from their perspective, is trying to pursue an ultimate deal.
Well, absolutely. This impacts two and very possibly three constituencies at least. And the one that you mentioned here, which is very important, is the Palestinians, because this Palestinian commitment to a state on only 22% of the historic land alongside Israel on the 67 lines and to achieving that through nonviolence and largely through relying on international actors and especially America to deliver Israel, that already looks like a rather unsuccessful strategy. This could push it over the tipping point. And you could see, and at some stage you will see, I imagine, under these circumstances, a much more rigorous Palestinian questioning of whether they can continue down this current road. And that reassertion of Palestinian agency could be an unintended and very powerful consequence of that kind of a Trump policy. The other constituency, is as mentioned, is the Israeli right. They're already self-confident. This could push them over the edge. Another constituency that one should at least acknowledge that something may go on here is the American Jewish community, who by overwhelming majority did not support Trump, are deeply uncomfortable with what he seems to stand for. And this could cause an even greater fissure between American Jewry and Israel. If there is a love affair between Trump and the Netanyahu government, the Trump administration, that could have a knock-on effect where American Jews feel even more uncomfortable with Israeli policies. And you could see the two largest Jewish communities in the world both confronting the notion of illiberal democracies. And the dividing line will be, I imagine, between those who say, even if you're uncomfortable with some of this, shut up, Israel is our issue. But there will be a pushback against that.
Did the ruling Israeli right in Israel hear Donald Trump's anti-Semitic speech in Florida? Did they internalize it? Have they talked about it? Or do they simply dismiss it as his domestic politics and the type of division that, in a twisted way, they could benefit from in their own country?
Well, this is a very thorny issue, and there are a couple of things going on here, Todd. But there is a deeper theme here. And the deeper theme is a historically problematic relationship between Israel and right-wing anti-Semitism. And the anti-Semitism that says, you know, your place is not here. Because that has a not insignificant overlap with a particular brand of Zionism, which also says that American Jews' place is not in America, it's in Israel. Netanyahu took a very controversial, I would say, reaction when there were the attacks on a Jewish supermarket in France, on a synagogue in Denmark. His response was not, stay, fight this, we fight this together. His response was, come to Israel. Right. Basically making common cause with classical anti-Semitism, that Jews don't belong in these countries. So I think Israel tends to take a rather opportunistic and indifferent at best, irresponsible at worst, position when it comes to the anti-Semitism of the right. They jump all over anti-Semitism when they consider it comes from the left. If anyone calls for boycotting or sanctioning Israel, that's anti-Semitism. But when the right are trading in classic anti-Semitic tropes and taking very problematic positions, they tend to go very silent.
Former President Jimmy Carter says in a Times op-ed this week that the Obama administration, knowing sort of the state of play that's coming, should recognize Palestine now as a final act and set the table for UN recognition, and by implication, box Donald Trump and Netanyahu in a little bit. What would that mean?
I think it would be an important marker that they could lay down. It would send important signals, but it would not be game-changing, because this would not lock in the Trump administration in ways that are likely to fundamentally shift the dynamic. For a fundamental shift to happen, I think you will need to see a real change in Palestinian strategy, a real change in the impunity with which Israeli policies are met. This will need for Palestinians and Israelis to look at it differently.
Daniel Levy, president of the U.S. Middle East Project. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.